Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. We are just getting into our second emphasis as a church, and we're entering into the worship emphasis. And joining me on this episode, I have Abby Weldon. I almost said Abby Chant again.
I know.
I always want to say that. Abby Weldon. I have Braden Hasty, and I've got Jamie Chant. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Living it up.
It's great to have you guys. So a couple things. A few weeks ago, Jamie had the opportunity to join us on the stage leading worship. And that was amazing. Tell me about that, getting back on the saddle.
It was fun. I think sometimes people think, you know, when you see an older worship leader get up here, they think they're trying to make something happen. But that's not what that was about at all. It was fun to just get up and be with my daughter and have my girl up there and be leading, going before the throne with her. And that experience, you know, my heart's always been for worship. And it was super fun.
Have you and Abby led worship together before?
Never.
No, we've never had the opportunity.
No.
We both were at... both times we led at other churches, we were not ever together.
So you were pretty young when Jamie was still leading at Covenant, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And he really didn't lead. One thing my parents have been very good at is like giving people space to take up space.
Yeah.
And so they've never put themselves in situations to stop other people from growing. And so my dad probably, it was probably... How long would you say did you actually lead at
Covenant?
Probably
20 years since I've actually been on stage leading worship.
But like when you guys were at Covenant, you guys probably stopped leading pretty early on
It was
ministry?
Probably about 5 years, 4 or 5 years in. Yeah. And I had a young guy playing
which
piano
we were
for
there
me
for
that did worship.
A long time.
And I think the mistake, and this is not, there's lots of worship leaders out there that are older. I think we do it with worship and with leading as pastors. I think sometimes we go past... And because we don't want to make room for new worship leaders or even new music or song.
Yeah.
And we can miss something that happens. I tell Noah all the time, you know, in the Old Testament, the head priest retired at 55.
Right.
And handed it over to another priest. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can miss that sometimes. So it's not like I'm sitting going, I wish I was doing worship, you know. I miss it sometimes. But I just love seeing Braden and Abby and all the worship team that they have here. Steve and you, whoever it is, getting up and just engaging in worship. There's something about that really touches my heart to be a part of watching that happen.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it when Jamie was up there leading, and I was wondering how many people in our church now don't even really know that, like, that was his past, that, like, he had been a worship leader.
Yeah, my husband's never even heard him sing. We were driving on the road Sunday, and he was in the truck, and he was like, I've heard your dad kind of sing, like, in... service, but like I've never heard your dad like actually sing.
Yeah.
And I got off stage and he was like, that was the best worship set I've ever heard. He was like, which my husband loves like older styles of just like sounds, and you know what I mean? My dad always like he carries that older like tone.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's my, like, we got in the truck and he was just nonstop talking about it.
It was funny too, because when Bethany walked in, my niece who attends here.
Yep.
Darlene said, as soon as she walked in the sanctuary and heard you, she started weeping. And she ran over and said, is Jamie doing worship? Because that's my whole, both my sisters, two of my brothers, well, three of my brothers that are in ministry are all participate in worship. Mm-hmm. And so we're a worship family. That's something that we, and I believe Abby's inherited that. I believe there's a psalmist anointing on people that step into worship, and it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes you can see that kind of thing traveling down like the family line through generations, because you guys, your guys are, you're what, a third or fourth generation preacher?
Yeah, fourth generation, Pentecostal, fourth generation.
Noah's the fifth, and you guys have worship in your, in your lineage.
Yeah, it's funny.
Which is crazy to think about. I mean, if Benjamin ever decided to say yes to something like this, he'd be a sixth generation.
Yeah.
Like, that's two's a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like two generations of something is a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Five generations of it is, that's far back.
The way he beats my head, though, he's probably going to be a drummer.
I will say in that vein, I don't really know if this episode will be out by the time I've talked about this on a Wednesday night or not. But it is interesting. I've looked at a lot of generational worship, and not even from a family perspective, but as in just like a historical generational worship. And so much of revival and movements in revival have started from a sound or a song.
Yeah.
And like in the 60s, there was a specific theme that people were going after when creating real worship music. Like the 60s was really the first real like dive into like worship songs that weren't like just hymnals.
Yeah.
And so they kind of paved the way for something in that it became a little more folk, which was like probably crazy at the time for people who were super legalistic.
Yeah.
And when you kind of lean into the 70s and you start to really like read about the Jesus movement, salvation was like the core of the Jesus movement. Like that was really the birthplace of the revival was people sing, people get saved. Like that was the call.
Yeah.
You know, like the Toronto revival was about his presence coming and his, you know, mm-hmm. but the Jesus movement was, it was salvation. And, all of the music that was kind of birthed in the 60s were what led into that Jesus movement, which this Jesus movement kind of started in the 60s too. Mm-hmm. But it's just interesting because I feel like specifically worship music has always led to a generational change. And I think that it's even impactful. We've talked a little bit just amongst our staff of like how important it is to incorporate the new songs and the new sound of what the Lord is doing, mm-hmm. but then also pull from those songs back then that we don't normally sing, because I think that there's something that it unlocks in mm-hmm. the atmosphere when we pull from songs that birthed revivals we weren't even a part of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right on. I think there, because I do think the Lord loves doing new things and creating, and because he's so creative and he puts that creative spirit in worship leaders, I think mm-hmm. that there is just a natural tendency to develop and create new sounds, like Abby was saying. But I also love the idea of like going back and like, do you ever stumble upon like an old worship song that you haven't thought about in like 10 years? And it's like, oh man, this is really like moving me right now. And it's kind of almost like unlocking like a nostalgic like connection that you had, you know, when you were younger with the Lord.
I've had that experience with a lot of Jesus culture. Cause I feel like we don't, maybe I don't hear, maybe other people hear about it, but I don't really hear about like Jesus culture anymore.
Right.
The way that I did in middle school. So it was probably 2010, 11, 12, that mm-hmm. I feel like that's when they really kind of hit, you know, their stride. And when I listen to those songs, again, there's a theme there. And the theme is about like being saved, but not in a salvation way, but like being saved from like the wretched sinner that I am, you know? But like, I remember being in a room up in our church, like in the upstairs, and literally just like on my face at 11, sobbing. Cause our youth, or our middle school pastor at the time was a worship leader.
Okay.
So he just put such an emphasis on worship. And I just remember, and literally every time those songs come on, I'm like transported back to being 11 and like experiencing that type of presence of that, like the revelation that he's so much bigger than just for salvation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like those kind of moments where it's like, it really hits you. But,
and I tell people sometime, like even before that, for me, it was like Kelly Willard. It was, you know, Keith Green, some guys, people that you may not even heard of. But if you were going to go back to listen to these vocalists, there was such a deep love for God, such a passion for presence, that even now when I go back and listen to Keith Green, who was probably labeled as one of the greatest worship leaders of our time, a lot of people don't even remember him anymore.
Yeah,
but it's so, his songs are so powerful that people haven't even visited that. And, but this transition of worship has been so incredible. I've been in this thing 40 years to watch. And I think the worst thing we can do is not engage in what the Spirit is doing right now in worship. There's a lot of churches that are still, you know, when I came to Covenant, it was still Redback Hymnal.
Yeah.
And I just come at a revival from Calhoun doing Lyndall Cooley and, and you know, stuff, right? And Braden's been with me probably at Covenant. You were probably 15 or even younger, Braden. And I remember telling my wife when Braden came, he was young. And when he started to get older and get connected to worship, I remember telling my wife, that young man has a psalmist anointing.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a part of where, I don't know where we're going, but I think he's going to be a part of, of where we're going.
Braden, how long have you been? I feel like I was going to ask singing. I think you were born with a microphone.
Yeah, I've been singing for 36 years.
How old are you?
36. 36.
How old were you when you started like singing in church?
Oh, I mean, yeah, 3, 4.
Okay.
I'm sure of it. Like all my life. It's all I've ever done.
As far back as your memory goes, you've been singing in church. Wow. And I was thinking about this too, because Jamie was just talking about how, you know, you've been doing this for 40 years, Jamie, and you've watched like the progression of worship change. And I've been with you now, Braden, for like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
I think I started drumming with you probably 6 or 7 years ago. And I've watched like you change dramatically just in your style and just like, and like I've watched you kind of follow, I don't want to say the trend, but like the moving of like what the Lord is doing in like corporate worship settings. Can you, and this could be for any of you guys too, but I'm curious, how do you guys think about navigating like a worship set from like a worship leader perspective, leading corporately? How do you guys navigate the difference between like planned worship and spontaneous worship? Because I think, I'd be curious to know how many people in the congregation actually know the degree to which like our worship is just spontaneous, completely unplanned, unprepared, and we just kind of go with the move of the Spirit, you know?
Yeah.
But how do you guys kind of think about navigating that?
Well, for me, I think it's, because I'm a pastor now, it's mostly biblical structure for me in that context. I've always believed that thanksgiving and praise both need to be included in a worship set.
Sure.
Because we enter presence, the Bible says, with thanksgiving and praise, or praise and thanks, his gates with courts, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think, and I can speak, you know, they can speak for themselves. For me, even just getting up and doing a set with these guys is like a whole week. My wife would hear me walking around the house singing a little song. She said, "What are you doing?" I'm just feeling out some songs that the Holy Spirit, I feel, wants me to. And I actually mentioned this song that I sang to Braden a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord's put that song on my heart. That's not my really type of song, but I'll get into it and sing it anyway, because I feel maybe that's what the Lord's put upon my heart. So there is some personal spiritual preparation in your heart that you have to do, and being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is going to do in the service. Also, what emphasis are we on? What's being preached Sunday?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to take songs that empower where you're going as a unit. Not that you can't get off and be led by the Spirit in a different direction. There's that aspect to it. But for me, I think as a worship leader for years and years, I think personal preparation is probably the greatest key for me. Making sure, first of all, in me, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. You help me. And there's sometimes it's not like you hear a voice. It's sometimes you're just, you're listening to a couple of your favorite worship bands. I think I'll do that Sunday. I really like that song. And so, and what your people are familiar, I don't like doing so many new songs that people are learning new songs every week.
Yeah.
And I don't like a lot of lyrics. To me, I like simplistic worship.
Sure.
I like where you can sing it 3 times and people can close their eyes and get into it and sing it. Not like they're reading a verse after verse, a chorus after bridge, a verse after. That's just me.
Yeah.
That's just my take on worship.
Yep.
I think worship is meant to be beautiful and simplistic to some degree. And sometimes we can get away from that a little bit.
Yeah. I love that.
You know. So, Braid?
Yeah, I think in preparing too, I think it's mainly like, I know throughout the week, like when I'm leading, I usually just have a conversation with the Lord, and I really just ask, like, hey, like, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know, not so much on the sake of, like, well, I like this song, or, I like, you know, I'm feeling this, but also sometimes, but I think a lot of times for me, it's like, hey, like, what do you want out of this? You know, because ultimately the reason that we come together and do this is to please His heart.
Right.
You know, not to make somebody feel good or, you know, sing their favorite song, but I think really just to say, hey, like, what do you desire from me?
What would please you?
You know?
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And that's, you know, it's probably hard too, because you do know as worship leaders that there are certain songs you can sing that'll get a crowd hype. You know?
Yeah.
And like, is that something you guys take into consideration? Because obviously we're not like a very like emotionally hype church. Like a lot of churches will like only allow the first song done in a set to be like high energy, fast paced to get the crowd, you know, and we're sometimes we'll start very slow. We'll start, you know, almost just a singer and a piano, you know, which is different from a lot of church cultures. But, like, what do you guys think about when, I don't know, picking your, obviously you're listening to the Lord and you're having those conversations, but are you taking into consideration like either what is the song about or how fast is the song or how loud is the song? Or
I think oftentimes I'm thinking about the words. I feel like most times when I'm listening to worship music, I feel like the Lord is giving me imagery for something.
Yeah.
And so like even when Dad and I led, I sang an Elevation song called Do It Again. And I actually wouldn't normally sing that. Like I wouldn't normally pick that. I felt it was very specific for the night. It was very specific for what the Lord wanted to do. But normally, even if I would hear that song, I'd press skip. But it just felt like it was very specific to what, and I really still don't even really know what that was, but like what exactly he was wanting to do. But most times, I think I'm looking for something that's gonna spark the revelation of who the Lord is. And especially when it comes to songs that we're leading first, like what kind of songs are we leading that's gonna give people the imagery of who he really is? I think that's why we've been stuck on Worthy of It All, like the song and just also the spontaneous kind of flow of going into Worthy of It All.
Yeah.
Because I think that it always sets the room, whether you want to go there or not, we're going to talk about how worthy he is.
Yeah.
So whether you hear us start singing that and you go, oh my gosh, we're doing this again, or you're right in it with us, it's important that at the end of this worship set, even if you don't experience him physically, that you would be able to know that we've expressed ourselves by defining who he is.
Yeah.
He's faithful. He's kind. He's beautiful. He's, you know, whatever. He's honest. He's whatever. And so I think that's been like part of the process. The hard part about worship is I think it's probably like anything else that has, that lends itself to supernatural things. There's so much spontaneity and so much like logistics. There's so many, it's very, I maybe people would argue it's 80-20, but I think it's 50-50. You know, I think there's a large part of things that have to be logistic, and you do have to prepare songs, and you can't, not everything needs to be spontaneous, and not everything needs to be, you know, and sometimes you even get in a set and you're like, I would rather not do this song than do this song and feel like it's not really where the Lord's going. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have time to practice another song, so I'm just not going to do this song instead of trying to make everybody do something that's going to sound bad. That's the logistic side of it.
Yeah.
But then there's also the spontaneous side of it where Saturday night I'm texting Braden like, I put that song on the list and that's actually not what I'm going to sing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think literally up until we're on stage practicing, and even when we're on stage practicing, I'm asking the Lord is, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Cause if you don't want to do this, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Cause I know where he wants to go is where we need to go. And I'm not going to waste my time. You know what I mean? Doing things that aren't what he's asking us to do.
Yeah.
So it's hard because, and I will say that's been one of the things that Braden has really, really, really done and been good at is keeping things logistical and being really professional. And I think sometimes professionalism can get a bad rap because somewhere in the line you can get a little bit into perfectionism. But Braden's been really good about teetering the line of keeping a lot of professionalism without perfection and keeping a lot of space for us to literally run.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times where I'm looking at Braden and I'm like, I'm going to start singing a song. I don't even know if you know it, but go with me. You know what I'm saying? And so like, he's really, really good about that. And I think that's given our entire team a lot of free spirited space to just roam and ask the Lord, hey, what's next? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know. So Braden, I'd mentioned I've been drumming with you now for many years. And at first, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when I first started back at Covenant Life, I don't remember it being quite as spontaneous.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
It wasn't. Okay.
It definitely wasn't.
It definitely wasn't. Yeah. So tell me about for you, like making that shift when, like back in those days when things were less spontaneous, more planned. Did you kind of have a vision for like, I want to be able to take this team and be able to do spontaneous things? Or was it just like, was that something you had vision for and that you were planning for? Or did, was that just kind of the natural progression over time that it just happened that way?
Yeah, I think it just happened because early on it was all about structure.
Yeah.
You know, nothing could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Make sure you play the right note.
Yeah.
Play the song. Like it's 5 minutes long. We're going to sing it. The track goes, you know, intro, verse, right. chorus.
I
verse,
forgot we played with tracks.
Chorus, bridge.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Okay.
You know, you did three songs.
Yeah.
Always. You did a fast song, a medium song, and a slow song.
Yeah.
That's what worship sets look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after when Pastor Darlene came back from school and just really just opened us up to a whole new world.
Yeah.
I think those were when shifts started changing.
Yeah.
In that area. And then, of course, when we moved into Be Love, mm-hmm. Everything just changed.
Right.
You know, and we've navigated that spontaneous moments differently mm-hmm. than what we normally would have done. So yeah, I think it's just evolved. I don't think it was ever just, hey, we're going to move into this. I think it just happened.
It just happened. Yeah. Wow. Something we've talked about, just staying on this topic of like planned worship versus spontaneous worship, something that we've talked about just as a staff is how like one is not necessarily more spiritual than the other, mm-hmm. but where do you guys, how would you define like the value of having space for spontaneous worship? Like where's the value in that?
I think one of the things that's important, and I've talked a little bit with our team about this, but like very, very vaguely, there is something so important, and it's actually probably, I don't really get aggravated by much. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like in worship, it's so, I love seeing everybody do different things and express the way that they lead. I love that we have a really wide range of leaders and a wide range of just people who are doing things differently. And I feel like it brings so much to the plate. However, we really have to be careful that we don't assume that everything that is unplanned is prophetic, because it's not.
Sure.
And there's worshipful moments and there's spontaneous moments, but there's prophetic moments. And those prophetic moments are when I am hearing the Lord say something to me, or I'm hearing the Lord give me a phrase or a verse or a song, and there's words, there's something to it.
Mm-hmm.
The other day when Dad and I were leading, I felt like the Lord was saying, like, I am faithful, I am good, and what I'm doing is good.
Mm.
I'm faithful, you've seen it.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is good. Okay. I can take that, because that's actually like it's a prophetic declaration.
Yeah.
But me like singing a song and then going into You're Worthy of It All, that's not prophetic. And that's not even really necessarily like spontaneous. It's just worshipful. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving a song and I'm going into this kind of just this worshipful, thankful moment of You are worthy of it all. Right now, I don't know where to transition, but all I know is that You're worthy. It's just a declaration of my understanding and my revelation and my gratitude to the Lord. But that's not prophetic. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's a declaration,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I guess you could argue that they're the same in a sense, because I guess a declaration can also be a prophetic, you know, whatever, release. But I feel like there's such a distinct difference between these really worshipful moments where you're saying, thank you, Lord, or you're so kind, or you're mm-hmm. so kind, and then getting like a prophetic song. It's what Dad was talking about. It's the difference between being worshipful and being a psalmist.
Totally.
I think we have a lot of psalmists in our atmosphere,
yeah.
and those are people, they're the Davids,
mm-hmm.
the people who are not just getting worshipful moments. They're the people who are getting verbiage for who He is and what He's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I find sometimes people will get on stage and think, and not even in our culture, but just in culture in general, they'll get on stage and they'll think, I'm going to do this prophetic moment. And all that comes out is, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Like that's not a prophetic song. That's not that's just you being worshipful, which isn't bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's different from asking the Lord. I'm asking the Lord all the time, even when I'm singing, is there something that You need me to sing out? Is mm-hmm. there something that I'm not getting yet, or this we're corporately not understanding, that I need to sing out to prophetically declare to the room and to the atmosphere that this is what You're doing, this is who You are?
Yeah.
They're different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both valuable,
yep.
both good,
mm-hmm.
but different. And I feel like it's important to know the difference, because some people won't take the steps especially worship leaders won't take the steps to unlock that level, because they think that being worshipful is being prophetic.
Sure.
And so they won't ever actually dive into asking the Lord for that, like, psalmist anointing to unlock in them.
Yeah.
To ask him for what the more is.
Yeah. And it's probably hard, I imagine, developing that ability to simultaneously sing and lead and listen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably not something that a lot of people just do naturally.
No, and I think our culture is good about really emphasizing the importance it is to walk with the Holy Spirit in general, worship leader or not, just in life, is to really walk with the Holy Spirit and constantly be in dialogue with him. Mm-hmm. I think that in itself lends itself to getting on stage and it feels like you're riding a bike. It sounds complicated, but it's not.
Sure.
Because when I'm doing things, I am always actively listening. It's like when you're having a conversation with someone and all of a sudden you get a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not zoning out of conversation with you, but I'm in conversation. I'm interacting with you, but I also hear the Lord drop something in my spirit to tell you.
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's just in song form.
In song form. Yeah.
I love it.
Great. Well, I appreciate you guys being here. We need to wrap this up. I know there's 1,000 questions I want to ask you guys. And I do think it's interesting too for people who are not worship leaders or who maybe haven't even had the chance to like ask these questions or have these conversations to know like what's going on behind the scenes with preparing worship, leading worship.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's very interesting.
That's cool.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
It's fun.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. That's going to be it for this episode. And we love you all. Have a good week and we'll see you next time.